Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast. Let me remind you to check out the RGM website for news, updates, and free downloads. Now, let's go to Reverend Randall Greer.
You know, the Lord told me one time back in youth camp about 7, 8, 9 years ago. Maybe 10. I was getting ready to preach. That's when we was up on that mountain in North Carolina. Anybody remember that? Way back up there in the woods. And it was packed out. The glory of God came. I mean, when I got in the pulpit, I couldn't do nothing. It was just the glory came and people were getting saved. The gifts of the Spirit were in operation. But I remember I was praying prior to that and I said, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to tell them? He said, this is what the youth of America and all youth of the world need. He said, they all desire and they long to belong and they desire to feel wanted and needed. He said, if the church don't meet that, he said, they'll go to the world where they will meet it. Yeah, they long to belong. You want to fit in with something. You want to identify with something. And you desire to feel wanted and needed. That's the human nature in you. And see, the devil will offer you everything. He knows what you want. He knows the desires you want fulfilled. And somebody else may promise you all these things, but I'm here to tell you all of the roads except the road of Jesus Christ will take you down the wrong road. But I remember in prison, didn't know a whole lot. Not that we know a whole lot now and everybody could say, amen. But I remember in prison, I wanted a move of God. I wanted to see God move. And so I didn't know what else to do except put my head down and run at God as hard as I could and hit Him and either run into God or die one of the two. So I just put my head down, so to speak. I got into the Word of God. I quit going to the day room where the television was because usually they was watching something on there that wasn't right. Mostly in prison, it'd be something about a naked woman because it was all filled with men.
Amen.
Don't make me get up there and come back there. I'm here to tell you right now. And I knew that I could not watch that mess and be consecrated to God because it was messing with my head. It was messing with my body. It was making me want to do things that I shouldn't do. And God didn't want me to do that. So how am I going to look at the devil and keep from acting like the devil?
Right.
Listen, if you look like the devil, if you smell like the devil, and you act like the devil, you is the devil. That's the way it is. So you can't hang around the devil.
Right.
You can't do it. You've got to cut yourself loose. That's what I'm talking about, consecration. The Lord just put it in my heart. Don't go in there. And I made the decision. Was it tough? Yes. Because my flesh wanted to do it. I would walk down through there. And then boys would have pictures out of the Penthouse magazines and Playboy magazines. I know you're sanctified. You don't even know what I'm talking about here. Hustler magazines. Don't let me catch you with them. But anyway, they'd take these pictures, you know, because before they made them quit. And they'd paste them on their locker. Inside, I'm talking about what I dealt with. I'm talking about the real world.
Right.
I'm talking about how to get the power of God, how to cast out devils. If you want God on your life, I believe it was Brother A.A. Allen. Remember, he wanted the power of God. Y'all remember what he said about that? And remember, he'd lock himself in a closet and he'd tell his wife right by the kitchen. You remember that? You ever read anything about that, A.A. Allen? He'd lock himself in a closet and he'd tell his wife, don't call me. He said, because I'm not going to eat nothing. He said, I'm going to pray till God tells me what I need to do in order to have the power of God in my life, and I'm not coming out until I get through praying. She said, okay, honey. So he'd get in there and pray, and she'd get to frying them pork chops. Oh, my Lord. And that macaroni and cheese, woo, Lord. And them good potatoes would come out there boiling with that butter in them, woo-wee. And she'd get to boiling some turnip greens and collards and throw some of that fat back off in there. You young folks may know nothing about this, but I guarantee you, he'd get in there and get to wrestling with it, you know. He'd think about them pot of beans out there, and he'd think about them taters, and he'd think about them pork chops out there, and he'd done consecrated. He'd done sold out to God before he went in that closet. I'm talking about how to be consecrated. And I'm telling you, this is what you wrestle with. This is what Jesus wrestled with. This is what we all wrestle with. This is the real world.
Yeah.
And so he was in there. I'm not coming out. He made the decision. I'm going to fast and pray to hear from God. Well, he started hearing the pork chop fry. And the frying of the pork chops got louder in the voice of God. Finally, he got like old Popeye the Sailor Man. And he said, I done stand it till I can't stand it no more. So he unlocked that door so he could get out because he locked himself in and he busted out of there, giving him pork chops, sat down on the table and ate. Ate them up real good, chomped them down. He had a chomp it up service. You ever had one? I mean, he chomped them up, brother. A woofing down service. I mean, he done it. He broke his fast. He broke his contrication. I'm telling you, you know what whipped him? A pork chop. And we're going to whoop the devil. Amen. Glory to God. I'm going to take the devil. I'm operating the power of God. The pork chop whipped him through him. Wrestled him down. Pinned him to the floor. It was over. It's a true story. I've been right there in the knock of him. I've been right there too. I've started off on these glorious fasts before. Oh, I'm going to do so and so. Glory to God. I'm going to fast. And when I come out of this place, I'm going to be glowing. And I'll have to put a cloth over my face. They won't be able to see the glory. Because they can't be. And brother, I would last every bit of 27 minutes till I saw that Twinkie. When I went to the gas station. I saw that Twinkie. And that Twinkie started blinky. I'm telling you, it's blinking. It's going on and off in your mind. Oh, Lord, Twinkie, Twinkie, Twinkie. You never thought about Twinkies so much in all your life. You didn't know Twinkies had that much power. But there was something about a Twinkie. Brother, you got to have it. It had power. And all of a sudden, it tripped me. And I walked in that store. I didn't get one Twinkie. I bought the whole doggone box. My God. hallelujah, and get me a giant RC Coca-Cola, brother. I'm telling you the real world. This is what we deal with every day. This is the issues that we deal with. But I'm here to tell you there's a Holy Ghost that can take you beyond the veil of the flesh. That can, if you'll just stay with it. And I'm telling you, you're going to break a sweat. It's going to get rough. It's going to get tough in the flesh. But if you'll keep pressing through, you'll get to a place that when you get there, the glory of God will show up and you'll be where you need to be. Amen. So A.A. Allen, after four or five attempts, every time he'd tell his wife, he'd go in there and she'd get to frying the chicken next time. Next time she'd be cooking the pork roast. I mean, it'd be something that had power. I mean, some of these things have got a lot of power. If you don't know how much power something has, just tell it, it can't have you, and you're not going to have it. Right. He'll say, yes, I will. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I'm going to get in your belly. 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 Oh, you sing in your mind. Oh, and that thing swells up. A little old Twinkie, maybe, 2 inches in diameter. By the time you get to meditating on it, it's 15 foot in diameter. My God, you can't resist it. You can just see the glaze on it, Woo! My God. And then you can say, this message may be called Whipped by a Twinkie. Amen. And I'm not a knocking. I'm telling you about real life. I'm telling you what I deal with every day. I'm telling you the pressures I have to deal with every day. Things I face every day. And things that you're going to face every day. But A.A. Allen, just keep going back to that closet. Listen, don't give up. We talked about that last night. Don't give up hope. It might have whooped you. The Twinkie might have thrown you. It might have been RC Cola, the moon pie. Don't know what it was. Might have been the chicken leg, the back leg, the turkey leg. Don't know what it was. But don't give up. Because a turkey throws you one time, you may whoop it the next time. I'm here to tell you, don't give up. The chicken leg might have got you one time, but you can get him the next time. Don't give up. Just stay with it. So A.E. Allen, I don't know how many attempts, but it was several attempts. He told his wife one day, don't come get me. I'm going to lock myself in. She didn't say nothing. Because us men, we might get excited if you say that we can't, though we can. So she probably didn't give up trying to talk him out of it. Just go ahead and fry him a pork chop and hang it around his neck on a chain and stick him in the closet. Woo! I'm talking about consecrating yourself. Did he want to consecrate? Yes. Why was A.A. Allen trying to crawl in the closet? Because he was trying to shut himself off from everything of the world because he knew if he could get to it, he didn't have enough power to resist it. So he had to go somewhere that he could get the power to resist the world. Then when he resisted the world, he could get the glory. Because that's where the glory's at. When you consecrate yourself, you deny yourself and give yourself totally to God. And it's just not about the food. That's just one part. But finally, one day, after several attempts, maybe four or five, he locked himself in that closet again with a determination. Having failed the times before. Don't care what happens, I'm not coming out. So he prayed and he prayed and he prayed several days. Then he got into a place that all of his senses calmed down. He got into place that he got into spirit because he was so far out of the spirit. And God gave him a list of things to do. Do you remember how many the list was? 10, 12 or something? And I think he lists some of them in a book he's got. In fact, around here, Dr. Becker, somebody over the store could help you get that book, because I think it's still in print. If you wanted it somewhere, about A.A. Allen and all that. And there's one or two things that God told him that he wouldn't reveal to the general public. But God said, you do this, 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 and this, and this. He said, you do this. He said, you'll have my power. Did A.A. Allen walk in the power of God? If you were here last night, you heard me tell the story about how he would get off in the spirit. And all of a sudden in this particular meeting he was in, all of a sudden he was in the spirit. He said, now I'm in the spirit. And he said, I see this. He said, I see a lady in such and such a place. She's coming out of such and such a house. She had a baby in her hand. It was all mangled and bald. His tongue was hanging out of his mouth because it was deformed. His limbs and hands all messed up. His eyes all watery and white looking. Had 26 known diseases. Not telling what else. But he was standing there. This man that had locked himself in a closet. And he finally whooped the Twinkie. He finally whooped the pork chop. He finally whooped all them things. And he got to a place that God could use him. And the power of God came on him. And he said, I see this. And he said, now this lady's getting in the car. She's driving down the road. He said, she's driving this parking lot. He said, that lady is here in the building tonight. Said, bring her up here. Brother Shambach tells this story. I've heard him tell it, and I like to hear him tell it. He said when he saw her coming, he already knew her case, because she had come to him wanting to A.A. Allen to pray for a baby because she had to go. He knew all she had left was $10, and that's why she had to leave. She had the gas, I think, to go home. He said, but when A.A. Allen took up an offering that night, he said, God said to give you best, and he'd give you best. He said he went. He knows you ain't supposed to watch folks put money in the offering bucket. He said, but he went and watched that lady, knew she only had $10. She spent her last $10 in that offering bucket. I'm here to tell you, she consecrated. She was sold out to God, and she went back and took her seat. And he said when he heard A.A. Allen start talking about this lady with this little child, he said his spirit leapt for joy because he knew who it was. A.A. Allen didn't know, but this man knew. Out of all these thousands of people sitting there, God had saw the dedication and the consecration of that lady. And that lady brought that emaciated, crippled, mangled child with these 26 different diseases that medical science could not help. And A.A. Allen took the baby in his arms, and his mama standing there weeping, and they told the audience to close her eyes. Brother Shambach said, I wasn't going to close my eyes. He said, I got over there where I could see. And he said, when A.A. Allen started praying, he said, things started popping. He said, the first thing that happened is that kid's tongue went back in his mouth. Then his eyes that was watery cleared up, and then he heard some things popping, pop, pop. And it was that baby's legs popping out straight, his baby's arms popping out straight, and right there before God and everybody, A.A. Allen set that child down, and that baby run across, back and forth, across that platform, totally healed by the power of God, because he found out how to whoop a chicken leg. Amen. I'm here to tell you, it comes through consecration, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. If you want God, God wants you. Yeah. You got to sell out to him. And go to him. And that's what we learned in prison. He said, why could we not cast him out? He said, because this kind cometh out by nothing but by fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer does not, fasting doesn't change God. Right. It changes us. Right. So fasting, and this is what Dad Hagin said about fasting. Now, you may have to, if you're going to fast, and I'm not trying to push somebody into something or make somebody do something, you just follow the Lord, because there's a balance in fasting. In fact, there's a book back there called A Common Sense Guide to Fasting. Isn't that right?
Yes.
It's by Kenneth E. Hagin. It's only about 32 pages, and I would encourage you, if you're going down this road, get it and live a balanced life in this area. But I say this, what the Lord told Brother Hagin, because he was going on fast periods where he wouldn't eat any food, I think, drink water. He might not even drink any water for a day or something. But anyway, it's in the book, it'll tell you. But anyway, the Lord spoke to him one day, and he said to Dad Hagin, he said, I would rather you live a fasted life than to go on binges where you eat all you want to, then shut your body down, and then have to start it back up again. He said, because fasting, this is what the Lord told him, fasting don't change me, it changes you. And he said, Lord, what is a fasted life? He said, that's where you just don't eat all you ever want to. You ever been there? When you didn't eat the last chicken leg? When you didn't eat the last four pieces of pie? And that's where he got to. Well, I'm here to tell you, where God is trying to bring us to, it's not just in the food department, but it's in every area of our life. Don't let the world control your thought life. Don't have mental images and pictures in your mind that are contrary to God's word. Control your thought life. Make your body a vessel unto honor unto God. Set yourself apart. Sanctify yourself. Consecrate yourself. Give yourself. Base your life on what God's Word says. Said, how am I going to do it? That's a good question, isn't it? How are you going to get the strength to do what I'm talking about? Because it's one thing to tell me to do something. It's another thing to know how to do it. So I'm sure you want to know how to do it. I'll tell you how. The only way that I know that you can get into this place I'm talking about is by spending time praying in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost will help you pray things out. It'll help your infirmities and things you don't know what to pray for. But if you'll spend time praying in the Spirit and giving your heart and giving your life to God, you'll get strength. I'm here to tell you, when you start off, you're really serious about this, you're going to meet some opposition. I'm not going to tell you you're not. You are. You're going to meet some opposition. You're going to meet yourself. And you're going to find out what you're really like. You're going to have to find out God's going to reveal things to you. He's going to want you to make some adjustments in different areas of your life. Because I know that's the way He's done me. I want you to adjust what you're looking at. In fact, I was telling you about the pictures that was on the lockers in the prison before they took those dirty magazines out of there. I mean, you couldn't help but see them. I mean, you could. I found out you could, but I wanted to give the excuse, but you couldn't, you know. And so the locker would fly open, and these guys would make sure, because I'm the preacher, that they would open it up on me when I come by it. So I learned just to look in the Spirit and look past it. And the Lord said, if you'll give your eyes to me, son, He said, I'll look through them and do things that you've never seen before. If you'll watch what your eyes look at, if you'll watch what your ears hear, if you'll watch what your tongue says, if you'll watch what your hands do, if you'll watch where your feet goes, if you watch where your body does and consecrate it to God by praying in the Spirit, because that's the only way you're ever going to do it, deprive the flesh, tell it, no, it's not going to do it. We're going to serve God. And of course, that don't mean that you can't enjoy life. You understand? Let's balance this out. That don't mean that you can't have a what do you call them things they do at camp at night? Where you get all over them? S'mores. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Somebody's been, where they get all over you, burn them up and all that kind of stuff. I think Randall likes to burn his till they, you know, crispy critters, you know. But I'm not saying you can't do any of that. I'm not saying you can't have fun. I'm not saying you can't go out to the hamburger joint. I'm not saying any of that. God wants you to enjoy life. Amen. You know what I'm talking about? And different ones of us have different calls of God on our life. Where God may require certain consecration from me, He may not require that from you. So don't try to just pattern yourself off of me. I'm just preaching God's best right. For those that need right. It, you understand? Right. I'm not trying to push you into something. I'm not preaching condemnation to you. If you never do this, I'm going to still love you, but I may come hunting you down. No, I'm going to still love you. God's still going to love you and everything. So we're not trying to push anybody off. We're not saying that you got to go through life in misery and drudgery. I can't. Yes, you come to God, you can. There's a lot of things you can do. God doesn't mind you having fun. God doesn't mind you having a good time. God's a good God. But the Bible does say, to him whom much is given, much is required. And I find that out. A consecration for me may be a whole different area than a consecration for you. So I'm not trying to put off on you what God has called me to do. But I know this. When I started walking this way, when I was in prison, it opened the door to the gifts of the Spirit to operate through my life like never before. When I slipped away from that consecration and the depth of consecration that I had at one time, I lost the greater anointing and I had to get back in it. And I'm working on getting back in it right now to a greater degree. So I believe this. In one sense of speaking, I don't believe that we're waiting on God. I believe God is waiting on us. Consecrate. Dedicate yourself. This is a time. God's power is available to you. It belongs to you. And the devil cannot keep you out of God's plan. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit. Because I'm here to tell you, if you'll consecrate yourself to God, you're going to come out with God's glory every single time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father.
Thank you for joining us for the Word and Spirit podcast with Reverend Randall Greer. Join us next time when Reverend Greer brings us the Word of God. And remember, God is with us.